friends and talking about your problems continually, you're doing nothing but establishing worry in your life about that issue. We have to be willing to let it go and let God. God says, cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. God will bring us through. God will bring us out the other side. You know, all the problems that we're going through, think about the fact we are going through them. Doesn't mean we have to stop there, park there, and live there. We're going through our problems. God is taking us through them, Amen. Out the other side, victoriously. Amen. Praise God. So do not worry. That's one of the principles of the kingdom. If we are going to get ourselves into a place where we receive the favor of God, we are going to have to be determined not to worry. Be determined. Recognize worry as sin. When Jesus says, don't worry, and we do it, we must be sinning. We're commanded to obey His commandments, and He said, don't worry. It's not a suggestion. Do not worry. Says it very plainly. He said, do not worry, for after, and they're talking about the things, really, Jesus was talking about the things that we need to eat and the clothes that we wear and so forth. For after all these things the Gentiles or non-believers seek. Everybody seeks after some things, you know, things that we need. Obviously, we need them. Don't worry about them, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. So don't worry about these things. God knows we need them, but now here's what you can do. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So Jesus is giving some of the instruction here about the kingdom. Number one, don't worry. Number two, seek the kingdom and His righteousness. Seek after the kingdom and His righteousness. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And then he says, you know, the chapter breaks up, but he's still talking about the same topic here. Then he says, judge not that you be not judged. That's another principle of the kingdom of God that we must grab a hold of. If we desire to get ourselves into a place of favor this year in 2012, we have to make sure that we are not judging people. You and I are not qualified to judge one another. We must come to the place where we're allowing God to bring judgment where it's needed. What do I mean by judgment? Well, somebody does something to us. Somebody hurts us, and somebody, you know, defiles us in some way, and we judge them as evil or judge them as bad or judge them in such ways that really that we are releasing unforgiveness toward them. We are judging them. We are making a judgment. You know, if we, even about sometimes, you know, I've seen this and heard this over the years, that somebody, even their children, they might have a problem with their children, and they, you know, they might say awful things toward their children, and then, you know, they never were any good, they'll never be any good. That is a judgment toward them. And the Bible says, do not judge, lest you be judged. You know, there's many people who have been unfortunately defiled in this world. We have to deal with the reality of what happens in our world today. We can't pretend they don't exist. And we know that there's a lot of abuse that takes place in the world. We know that people have grown up in abusive situations. People have been gotten into abusive marriages and been abused and so forth. And these things happen all the time. It seems to be part of our society. It is actually a result of the devil getting in and trying to manipulate people into judging one another. And sometimes when a spouse is hurt terribly, a husband or a wife is hurt by the spouse terribly, sometimes they make judgments. And they'll go so far as, oh, men are all like that. Or women are all like that. You can't trust any of them. And you begin to make judgments then about those people. And what generally happens as you do that, your judgment brings upon you the very thing that you have judged. How many of you people know even that people who have gotten themselves into an abusive situation, they got out of it and went into another one? Because they make judgments. You see, we must release forgiveness to those people who abuse us or do things to us that are very, you know, very, very wrong. Things that we have never been created to experience. We realize they come upon us, but we must not hold unforgiveness toward them because we judge them, and the only cursing we do is we end up cursing ourselves in the process. We must release forgiveness. But forgiveness is not saying that it was okay what you did. That's not what we're talking about. Forgiveness, we're saying, I'm not going to hold this thing against you. Remember the martyr Stephen, when he was being stoned to death? One of the last things that he breathed out of his mouth, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Actually, he said, do not hold this sin against them. He said, they're stoning me right now, but I want you to know, Father, that I'm not holding that against them. I'm releasing them. I'm forgiving them. That's an awesome example about what you and I are to do when people do nasty things toward us. We are to release them. Say, Father, I'm not holding this against them. What I'm going to do, God, is I'm going to allow you to deal with the situation. I'm just going to say, Lord, I'm going to bless them like this. I'm going to say, God, you help them to get to know you so they never have to do that again. Bless them instead of curse them. You'll be victorious in the process. Judge not, lest you be judged. We were not created to judge other people. It is not a part of the fabric of the kingdom of God. This is one of the major principles of the kingdom of God. We talked about another principle about the kingdom of God, that we are to walk in integrity. You and I are to live our lives in complete integrity. When we are dealing with people, when we're dealing with finances, we are to walk in integrity. We're not supposed to be people who will cheat a little bit on our government, on our tax and so forth. We are to just go right down the line, do it the way we're supposed to do it. We are not to try to rob the government. Even if we don't agree with it, most of us don't agree with most of what the government does, but that we're not a call to agree. We're a call to walk in integrity. See, there's some things that we just can't do that the world just feels quite free about doing. Integrity is absolutely crucial in the body of Christ. It's a principle that will open the blessing of God into your life. And if we do the opposite, it's a principle that'll curse us. I don't know about you, but I want blessing, not cursing. The Word of God says, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Then he says, but choose life. In other words, he said, you can choose either one. I'm exhorting you to choose life. And we choose life by operating in integrity. We choose life by not judging others. We choose life by forgiving others, not holding anything against them. Praise God. I'm excited about learning about these things and about the kingdom of God. I really am. I'm doing everything I can to get the Word of God into you so that you can get yourself in a place where you can sense the favor of God on you in 2012 so that you can stop a pattern of life that is destructive and rejoice because you just crossed over into the kingdom of God and you've learned to receive from the blessings of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Honesty is so important. Now, all these things, I want us to remember the things that we're doing when about forgiveness and not judging and walking in integrity and all these things. I want you to know that there's a power that enables us to be able to do these things. We can't do it on our own. We need the anointing of the Spirit of God upon us in order to be able to carry these things out, because the pressure of the world will try to ram us into what they think we should act like. And, you know, they would suggest, well, it's okay to cheat a little bit here. It's okay to do this and get some pleasure out of this thing over here that God says don't touch. The spirit of the world tries to get us to do those things. The pressure is there. It's on, folks. It's on all the time. We need the anointing of God, the power of God in our lives to be able to stand up against that pressure. Sometimes just to turn that thing off that we're looking at and watching it so much that is starting to develop within our minds and our character a way of working with the world system instead of God's system. There's two systems. There's a world system and there's a God system. And we got to make up our mind how we're going to live, how we're going to follow. One produces death, the other produces life. Praise the name of Jesus forever. Now, we talked a lot about what it means about when it comes to ministry. And we talked about how important it was for us to be involved in ministry. And we talked about what that word was, ministry. And we said that word ministry simply means service. Word The word ministry simply means service, service to others. One of the ways that we get ourselves into a position of having the favor of God upon our lives is to be involved in service. We could say ministry or service. It's the same thing. I'm serving you the word of God this morning. I'm giving you out of my spirit what I believe God has put in my spirit to share with you. I see this as what I'm trying to do is be a servant at a table serving you the word of the Lord for today. With God's help, and if you'll believe with me, we'll get the job done. But it's all about service. Ministry, we said, equals service. Service. Well, let me read this scripture first before we go on in that area. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And the Apostle Paul, I'm going to read from the Amplified Bible. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you in view of all the mercies of God. In other words, in all the things that God has given, all the blessings that God has brought into your life, I am saying this in view of all those things, to that you should make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and your faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. The Apostle Paul is saying that when you serve God, you're involved in ministry, you're involved in service, and those things together equal worship. So as we are involved in serving one another, as we do service for the kingdom of God, we are actually worshiping God. We think sometimes we come in here on Sunday morning, raise our hands, sing some songs, that's worship. No, that's very, very small part of it. Worship is actually doing the work of service. It's being involved, taking time to prepare for the body of Christ to meet, for instance, to be able to make sure that things are set in place. I used the example last week about Claude coming early and putting salt out in the parking lot and so forth so that the people wouldn't come in, slip, and get hurt. That's service for the kingdom of God. It's ministry. It is worship. And what did Jesus say? He says, my Father seeks those who will worship me in spirit and in truth. He's saying, I'm not looking for people who will just come to church on Sunday morning and sing a couple songs and then go home and never think more about the kingdom of God again. I'm not looking for those kind of people. He said, I'm looking. The Father is looking for people who will worship him. You could say, who will serve him in spirit and in truth. What would be serving God outside of the area of truth? Well, maybe somebody says, well, I want to do this thing. And deep down in their heart, I want to be a Bible teacher, or I want to be a dancer. I know I'm going to be a dancer and just worship God that way. And really what she gets her worth from, or what he gets her worth from, is having everybody else watch them. That wouldn't be in spirit and in truth. That would be worshiping for an ulterior motive. That's where they get their sense of worth from. And God is calling us. God is calling us to walk into a place to realize that we are valuable. We are worth something. We are a treasure because we belong to Him, not because somebody else thinks I'm nice. We are invaluable to God. God loves us. He cares about us. And that's the place where you and I need to get our worth from. Because if we try to get it from any other source, it'll be defiled. It will be defiled. A man goes and marries a woman because she makes them feel good and builds them up all the time and makes them feel like somebody. And if that's where he's getting his worth from, that is going to end in absolute disaster because she will never be able to satisfy him with enough. She'll never be able to do it. She's not meant to. It's not her place. She can't be God in his life. There's only one God. And that we are supposed to get our worth, our sense of value from. Not others. We have to keep our priorities straight. But when we serve one another in love, When we are so, when we're doing something like cleaning the walls up or cleaning windows in the place, when we come, we see something that needs to be done, and we begin to do something, and we have a sense of when we're doing it, we're actually worshiping God. All kinds of things that I do around this place a lot of times, and I'll do them, and I'll get right into them, and I'll begin enjoying it. And I think of what I'm doing, the reason why I'm doing it. God's people, the people He loves, are coming, and they're going to come into this place, and I want to see that they're looked after. I want to see that they get what they come for. We'll